Powered through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
It's Pete Carroll speaking from Seahawks headquarters. We'll take you there now.
Okay, so first week back after break. This was a fun week of practice. Our guys like being together. They like working, and they worked really hard this week. So we take a preparation with us going to Arizona that we know that we did some good stuff here. So we're planning on playing well. We know we have to. We know we're against a really dangerous football team. These guys are explosive and creative with what they do, and we're going to have to be on our stuff and have to be ready to adjust in this game quite a bit. Halftime will be a big deal, I think, this week. Looking forward to it.
Bob?
Pete, what Jamal Adams has declared out. Just curious what his situation is going forward, if you're still hoping he can be picked back next week.
Really close. He's really close. We want to make sure and get it right. The consensus is it's better to wait till next week. And I anticipate that he'll be practicing next week. We couldn't get him out of there. We hoped to and we wanted to, but we couldn't get him out. So we're going to leave him home and take care of one more good weekend of rehab and prep and try to get him, break him out next week.
Ben?
Hey, Pete, what have you seen out of Stephon Sullivan as a defensive end in practice? And do you anticipate him being able to help you guys sooner rather than later? As a passer,
It's been a good experiment for us and for him. He shows the versatility that he's in the running for this thing. With the tight end situation right now, we don't need him yet there, and so we've been patient with this. Next week will be an important week for him. He had a good day in pads this week, and I'm not sure if it's next week or not, but it's next week. We're looking at him really seriously to see where he fits, see if he has a chance to even have a chance to play there. We know he can play tight end. We have no problem with that. We love him there.
Thank you.
Corbin?
Hey, Pete, how did Jordan Brooks look out there? I see he wasn't on the last injury report. And does that mean that he's back in the lineup, or is Cody Barton still starting?
Well, you got to wait and see on that one. But he had a great week. He really did have a great week. He looked full speed. We ramped him up as the week went on, got more reps as the week as he could handle the work. So he's definitely going to play in this football game. Yeah, I expect that he'll play considerably.
Tim?
Pete, do you have a legit knee? Do you have to be taken care of? How would you list yourself on the injury report for this week?
A legit? You think I'm faking it?
No.
What are you talking about? I had to wait for a scope opportunity on the bye week, and my rehab was going really well, and then I went. If you can imagine this, I overdid it a little bit too much, and. Not that I wasn't warned from everybody that knows me and that was here that I'm probably going to do that. And so I guess I wanted them to feel good about them calling the shots, and they were all right. And I went too far too fast. And so I took a little step back. So just a little chink in my armor on the rehab process. So I'll be fine. I'll be there. No problems.
Do you have to take any special considerations, though, on Sunday about just being too close to the field or anything like that?
No, I'll be all right. I'll be fine.
Michael Sean.
Pete, I know you love guys who are multi-sport athletes in high school and stuff like that. Were you one?
Yeah, I played three sports. I played baseball, basketball, and football. Thanks for asking. Appreciate that. I did that my whole, all the way through my playing years. I was always playing everything.
What positions in each one?
I played center field in baseball. I played everything in football and was a hack guard in hoops. We had really good hoops teams. I was a hammer.
All right. Thanks.
Curtis?
I've never asked that before. That's really, it's a nice thought. Just dig back into my Redwood Giant days.
Yeah, Pete, you said earlier that you wanted to see snacks and pads this week. How did he jump out with that, and is he possibly a factor for you this weekend?
He's making progress. We're on a schedule to see. We're just going to go 1 week at a time. We're going to leave him home this week to continue to work and do his all the work he's doing, rehab and conditioning stuff. He's still on the road back.
Greg?
I was going to ask if you had an out-of-state license for that golf cart, but I guess you answered that. You
won't. I'm getting some rims, though. I am getting some rims for next week if I need it.
So you won't be in the box. You'll be on the sideline.
Right.
Okay. With Brooks, is this a game? Normally you'd think, well, his speed, this would be a game with Murray coming at him with his speed, but is that too much too soon to ask of the rookie in that type of a role?
No, he's ready to play. He's ready to play. He had a fantastic week. I'm really excited about him coming back and helping our defense out. He has, like you're saying, he's really fast. He's got great instincts. He's a tough hitter. He had a couple of great hits during this week in practice, just working to get himself back in. So he's ready to go.
Joe?
Pete, how about Phil Dorsett? Do you think he's going to play for you on Sunday?
Phil was not able to get on the practice field this week. So he's going to have a hard time doing that.
Brady?
Hey, Pete, just one more follow-up on Damon Harrison. You said rehab. Is he recovering from an injury, or are you just talking about getting in football
shape? Did I mention rehab? I don't know if that. He's not he's not working with the trainers and anything in particular, but he's just working to get back in shape and make sure that his conditioning is right and all of that, as good as we can make it. He's working on his weight and making sure that he's like I said before, svelte as he can be. And so he's still in, it's the process. He's going through a process getting right.
And with Rasheem Green, what's his status?
He's in great shape. He's ready to come back. I'm not sure exactly. I think he has a chance to practice here soon, and he'll be back as soon as we can get him out.
Thank you.
Tim Booth with a follow-up.
Thank you, Dave. Pete, the league with the spike, with the growing
legit?
Number...
Is it legit?
Is it legit? Yeah, I don't know. With the growing number of COVID cases, it seems that are popping up, you know, nationwide, and a few more in the NFL, the league's talked about maybe moving more to additional Zoom meetings or having less in-person meetings. Have you guys taken any steps like that to go a little bit more virtual than you were maybe 3-4 weeks ago?
If we had to max out virtually, we're ready to do that. Matter of fact, on Mondays, you know, we're not bringing the guys together on Mondays. We've done that throughout the first 5 weeks, meaning that instead of having a team meeting where we all show up in person in space, our guys stay out of here. They come in and then get back out. So we're ready to do. We're really well equipped to do whatever is necessary to do it, and we have taken precautions and stuff. We are on full alert. We're on full alert. The league helps in the reminders and all, but if they don't remind us, we're trying to think of it as well. Whatever we can come up with to do a good job. I find myself more concerned about the guys that enter the program, guys that haven't been with us through the long haul of all of the preparation and all of the conversations and all of the kind of the growing together with how we're committed to this. You know, a guy comes in, he's here first week, and I can't catch him up on all that. And so I'm concerned about those guys as we go through it. We're on full alert. I mean, I can't tell you, you know, you're right about the numbers nationally are going up, or states trying to hold on to it. You know, we're not quite able to, you know, get the numbers going down. It's still a very dangerous time, and so we're trying to take every precaution.
Curtis?
Hey, Pete, how's Mikey Potty doing? Is this back thing kind of worrisome for you, or how's he coming along?
Yeah, he struggled this week some. You know, he was uncomfortable a couple of days, so you know, we have to see how he is by the weekend and all that, and for next week, and we got to get Mike so he's healed and then he's returned fully, because it has nagged him a little bit, so I'm a little concerned about that.
Bob.
Since we last talked to you, they made this a prime time game. Just curious if that changed anything in your preparation for how it goes, the moving of the game to the prime time?
We're going to play a little bit later. So we'll have a little bit more time in the desert. It's not changing us. It's always fun to play in prime time, you know, we got no problem with that. We'll take full advantage of it. Changes us a little bit next week when we come back to travel the night of. Screws us up a little bit, but we'll take care of that for next week. But looking forward to it. We're fortunate to get the opportunity, and the league chose us to do it, so we'll try to make the most of it.
Then how'd Michael Kendricks look this week?
Mike's making a good run at it. He needs it. You know, it's going to take him a little bit. You know, Mike Mike wanted to think that he could just come jumping right back in and be full, you know, full flow, full flight and all that. And I did talk to him today on the field, and he needs the days. He needs the days to work his way back in. He's coming off his knee, and he did a fantastic job of rehabbing. But you still got to get your legs underneath you and get a feel for it. So we ramped him up with you know, more plays each day. And next week will be a really big week for him. But, you know, like, I don't know if you guys realize it, when everybody travels with us, for the most part, just about 100% of all the practice squad guys come with us in case there's a situation where we may need them. So Mike is, you know, he's an emergency status for us moving forward, like all the guys are, really.
Art?
PC, COVID seems to be a much bigger problem in the college campuses than it is in the NFL, and obviously the logistics are obvious with the campus situation and so on. Have you talked to any of the college coaches? Because it seems like they're having a real hard time accepting the reality as it is compared to most NFL coaches, and certainly the Pac-12 coaches are in alignment.
Yeah, you know, they got started early, you know, with kids coming to campus in the summertime. And so there were some programs that I was checking in with to kind of keep track, because they were way ahead of us, and to try to gauge how it was going and what was, you know, what was normal, what to expect and all of that. So, yeah, that's something that we have done. And it, personally, it really helped me have a clearer sense months before we, or not months, but a month or so before we got going, at least. And they're, for whatever reason, you know, it seems like the professional sports are doing a really good job of making sense to the guys. They're in the women's sports too. You know, everybody's really serious about trying to take care of business, and so we're doing it. On the college scene, you know, it's just, if you can imagine the dormitories and the apartments and traveling here and there and running, you know, the campus thing has just got to be harder, you know, and it's just more loosely controlled, I would think. And, you know, because everybody's in such a small area, so that's one of the number one issues, you know. And so, yeah, it's been hard. It's been really hard on them. And but we do know that you can do this. Yeah, that's what we've learned. We've learned you can bubble it. And we talked about this being a bubble, even though we weren't in the same situation as the NBA. We did it, and it doesn't have to be a physical bubble. It's more of a virtual thought. And how are you going to conduct your life and the decisions that you make and the choices that you make? You can protect us. And so for right now, it's hard on the colleges. And I don't know. Just imagining, as you suggested, it's, you know, it's pretty random. And there's a lot going on, and the variables are a lot higher. And that's why their numbers are as obvious as they are.
Joe?
For clarification on Philip, did he have a setback, or is he close, or did he just, you know, kind of the same process? And,
No, he's in a situation where he's got to make sure that he's back. This has nagged him a little bit early through camp and all of that, and he's felt this issue before in his foot, and so we're just trying to put a lot of space between when he's feeling really well and running full speed and making sure that he's back, because if we come back too early, he might miss the rest of the season. So it's just, we're going to be conservative. There's a lot of games to play and a lot of time coming up, and, you know, we'd love to have him. So we're just being, maybe it sounds like it, but we're being conservative to a certain extent because of the nature of this injury.
Is it fair to say he's maybe not close?
No, he's running now. He is flying. So it's just whether or not he can withstand it and keep coming back and not have any, you know, kind of flare-ups at all. So we're just trying to put space between that.
Greg?
Pete, you've mentioned a couple times how you wish the country had the self-discipline and maybe we wouldn't be in the same spot we are COVID-wise. How much, though, do you think it's been to the NFL's benefit in particular, the money and the resources that you and the team and the league has to throw at this and testing and all those things that maybe the society only wishes it could have?
No, there's no question. Because of our ability to have, and it took us a long time to get to everyday testing, and even now we're game day testing, which I have been in favor of since way back, so that we... that's to make sure that our mentality is right, and then we're very consistent. There's not any lag times, and you know that three tested a week would have been a nightmare, I think. But we also are structured for tracing too. We're tracing, tracking everything. So yeah, we do have the benefits of that. I don't know that, you know, in society you would ever get to that level, although we could have. I think there are countries that are available to test you whenever you need to. We're not, and we've talked about that, but that has not happened, and that's a big deal. But it's the tracing and tracking that's so crucial, and we're wearing little devices, you know, and our guys are all, we're scheduled in every day. We got a schedule of, you know, how many contacts you had and how, you know, the numbers of contacts with different individuals and on and on and on, so that when the time comes, we will go into freaking high gear and when to solve our problems. The point is, though, I think it shows an extreme, you know, Greg, that what you were capable of doing, and then somewhere in between there's a whole lot better setup than what we have. And what I think I probably said it, I bet I said it five times to you guys, this takes right from the very top. It has to be strict and tough and demanding, and you can't allow for any the human nature issues about, it's a little bit hard and it's not the way we want it, and, you know, we'd like to do this, we'd like to do that. That ain't going to cut it. This is not what we're dealing with. You have to have really firm, strict leadership, and the league has done a great job, right, to the commissioner and on down. We have been on this thing the whole time, and they pass it on to us, and we have to get it done too. And there's no question that that's the best way to go about this. Now, you're right about it. When you have all of the faculties available and everything that you need, obviously you can do what we're doing. You know, we've gone for 3 months now or whatever it is and haven't had a positive test. So, you know, see if we can keep it rolling.
Do you wear those?
That was your head coach, Pete Carroll. A couple updates from there. You're going to have Jamal Adams not playing, but he was close, so could make it back next week. Philip Dorsett didn't practice. Some other stuff we'll get to a bit later in the show. First, though, we're going to get to NFL picks. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to call 206-421-3776. We're going to have you face off against me, Jake, and Tom, picking the winners of five games this weekend. First caller gets in, 206-421-3776 or 866-979-3776. One more time, that's 421-3776. First caller. Okay. Tom, Jake, let's go through these. I'm going to go ahead and get us started. Panthers at Saints. Saints without two big offensive weapons. I already know this. I can't believe I'm doing it, but I'm going Panthers.
Well, you look at the matchup here with the Saints and the Panthers. You have your two starting receivers out, as you mentioned. That's a tough deal for the New Orleans Saints. I still put faith in Sean Payton here that they'll still make this game very competitive. But you look at the Carolina Panthers, what they've done offensively. They hire Matt Rhule. They hire, you know, wonder kid Joe Brady from LSU. They take him and make them their offensive coordinator, Teddy Bridgewater. They have been really impressive as an offense so far to start this season. And I think I'm with you, Stacey. I think the Carolina Panthers win this game.
All right, Tom, we've already won.
In five
Carolina.
Years of doing picks, I got to say, these are the five toughest games as a group that we've ever had to pick. These games are like all toss-ups. I don't know. I really don't know.
I'll put us down for Carolina, all three of
us. Go ahead.
I'm just going to choose
it's
for
fine.
Us. I'll let you get first pick for the next one, Tom. Guess what? It's even tougher. Unbeaten Steelers, unbeaten Titans. I don't even know who to go for here. I'm leaning toward Titans, but I think it's because I like Derrick Henry. I don't know why. Who are you going
for?
Yeah,
with? I want to say the Titans are the hottest team in the league, but the Steelers, you can make the same case. You know what? I think the Steelers are a little bit less one-dimensional. Man, I like the Titans' defense, though. I like their coach. Yes, the heck with it. I'll go Tennessee.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and write us all in for Tennessee. Jake, is that what you would have chosen?
Well, I think that Tennessee is one that I think would make a lot of sense, but they are going against one of the tougher defenses in the NFL in the Pittsburgh Steelers. I am going to pick the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You
I'm going
to
be a little bit of an outlier.
That. Okay, so we have technically,
because
we're two against one Tennessee, but Jake would like us to know he's going with the Steelers. Fair enough. I do that too. Jake, you go first here. Niners at Patriots.
I don't even think this one's close. I think I'm going to go with the Patriots on this one. I don't think the Niners are going to be able to hang in this game. And the reason why, look at all the defensive starters that are out that were supposed to be starters for them week one. Yes, I don't think the Niners are winning this game. I think that they fall to the New England Patriots.
NFL.com.
Yeah, Belichick game plan and Garoppolo. I'll go Patriots, too.
All right, I'm going Patriots, too. Bears at Rams. I'll go first. And you know what I'm going to do? Against my better judgment, Jake's already nodding. I'm going to take the Bears, and I'm going to say Jimmy Graham gets two touchdowns. I don't know why. I don't know why. But that's what I'm going to say. Jake, your face is that gif of that blinking man.
Really?
Who are you going with?
Jimmy Graham, two touchdowns. All right.
I just want to go against the mold. I'm trying to be different here.
Bold strategy
Thank
here.
You so
well,
much.
These are going to be two. This is going to be a fun game, just strictly to watch Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald alone. I mean, that's going to be an amazing, fun matchup. And Aaron Donald's going to be able to face someone he's had success with in Jermaine Ifedi, who's playing guard for the Chicago Bears. So I'm going to say that Aaron Donald's going to get the best of that matchup. And the Rams are going to beat the Bears.
Tom, do I even have to ask?
Yeah. Because the Bears are the type of team that could frustrate Goff to the point where if the Rams don't have a running game, you can forget about it. I'll pick the Bears.
Ooh! Jake! Outruled right here. We're going with Chicago.
I'm shocked. I am shocked.
Chicago.
Tom picking against his guy, Jared
Goff. All right.
What a shocker.
Let's go so we can bring the caller in here. Seahawks at Cardinals. Tom.
I predicted a tie.
Yeah, you can't pick Tom on this one. You can't pick Tom.
Tom,
he doesn't pick a winner.
You have to choose, Tom.
No, he already chose. He chose a tie. It's going to come down to us. I think I'm going to pick the Seahawks to win. If you're going to ask me what the score is going to be, the score in this game is going to be 28-17.
Woo! All right.
10-point spread here.
Let's see. Let's bring in our caller, Eric in Auburn. Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Okay, we're going to run through five games this Sunday. I want you to tell me who you think is going to win the matchup. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Go for it.
Okay, Panthers at Saints.
I'm going to take the Saints on this one. I think Drew Brees will pull it out here.
All right. You and Jake both, man. Steelers at Titans.
I said Carolina.
Well, I know, but I'm just giving you some credit here. I actually forgot that. Sorry. I only wrote down my answers. Steelers at Titans, Eric.
There's no shock.
I destroyed my favorite last week, so I don't think he's going to be the favorite this week.
All right. Niners at Patriots.
I think the Patriots, I think Cam Newton will stick it to the 49ers.
All right.
Everyone wins when that happens.
Now, this is a really tough one, in my opinion, Eric. Bears at Rams.
Similar thinking you guys, I think the Bears can make it dirty and sneak up on someone, but I'm going to stick with the Rams just to go against
the grain.
Give me a chance.
Okay. Yeah. I don't mind it, Eric. I like it. It's bold. Okay, last one. This one should be easy, but Seahawks at Cardinals.
I'll take the Seahawks 35-21.
Ooh, ready with the score, too. 35-21. I like that, Eric. Okay, Eric, stay on the line just in case you need to give your information to Tarek. Not sure if you guys grabbed it, but just hang on. Don't hang up yet, okay?
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Eric. All right, and let's go ahead and see what's on tap.
This is What's on Tap with Tom, Jake, and Stacey, brought to you by Dietz and Watson. So, folks, what's on tap?
It's the Dodgers versus the Rays for World Series Game 3 tonight at 5 p.m. on 710 ESPN Seattle. Coming up next, we're going to go to our game show. Actually, so that you guys know, someone texted in for Bold Take Friday. Just saw Jake's tweet for BTF, but I'm on the East Coast and will listen via podcast. Bold Take, Tom beats Jake in the weekly game show. We'll see if that happens next. We'll see. This is Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Ross.
Cardinals.
Very ferocious Cardinals. Thank you, Curtis Rogers, for the sound there. We're going to go ahead and get started. Jump right into it. We've got five questions for each of you. If there is a tie, we have a tiebreaker. If there's another tie, we have another tiebreaker. Are you ready?
Ready.
Let's do this.
Tom won the coin toss. He is deferred to the second question. Jake, question one. DeAndre Hopkins is Arizona's leader in receptions with 47. Who is Seattle's leader in receptions?
Seattle's leader in receptions would be... I mean, it's... I think this is a trap question. I'm going to say DK Metcalf.
No excuses. Unfortunately, no. It is Tyler Lockett with 30. Metcalf, the leader in targets, but has 22 receptions. Tyler Lockett beating him out there with 30. Next is Chris Carson with 21. Greg Olsen with 15. Tom, you have a chance to take the early lead here. One of the following players is leading or is still leading the Cardinals in sacks. Hassan Reddick, Chandler Jones, or Buda Baker?
Ooh. Leading or still leading because he'd be out. Buda Baker. Chandler Jones. I'm going to say Chandler Jones.
No, it is Hassan Reddick. He's taken over for Chandler
Jones. Back in the game.
Already has four sacks. Buda Baker, number two on the team with two. Chandler Jones, just one sack. Jake.
Really, just one?
A chance to get on the board first. Before becoming a star at Oklahoma, Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray lost a quarterback battle at Texas A&M to which current NFL quarterback?
Kyle Allen.
Wow, that was so fast!
I just want to say that Kevin Sumlin, who is the head coach of my alma mater, not only missed on Kyler Murray, but he couldn't get anything out of Khalil Tate either. So, thanks, Kevin Sumlin.
Bear down,
thanks.
Though.
Bear down. Bear down. As always. Just wanted to get that off my chest.
Tom, a chance to respond with question four. In 2018, Kyler Murray became the second consecutive player from Oklahoma to win a Heisman Trophy. Tom, the question I'm about to read sounds complicated, but it's easy, and I know you can get it. Are you ready? Name the other Oklahoma player and give me the last school before Oklahoma to have back-to-back Heisman winners and name those players.
Okay, wait. So I have to name the player from Oklahoma and then the other...
And then the other program and the two players there who got back-to-back Heismans.
Okay, well, Baker Mayfield.
Yes, part one, correct.
Okay. And then the other school before that to get back-to-back Heismans, that would be, I'm going to say, Alabama?
Oh, Tom, I had so much faith in you. I thought for sure you'd execute the trick play. The double reverse. Right. It's USC, Reggie Bush, and Matt Leinart. I knew you.
Oh, was it that long ago?
Yeah.
I knew that, but yeah. I thought Alabama
would have been somewhere in the middle. Yeah. Okay. All right. Jake, you have a question to get out to a strong lead here. The Cardinals selected wide receiver Andy Isabella two spots ahead of DK Metcalf. How many receivers were selected? That's not the question, Jake. How many receivers were selected ahead of Metcalf that year? The answer is yes. The answer is yes.
Do you want to give them the number options or?
Nope.
No?
Wait.
Okay.
Wait. Okay. Hold on.
The answer key here is three choices.
Wait, what?
Hold on.
Oh, sorry. Someone edited it. Okay. Okay, Jake.
I'm glad this isn't my question.
Okay, Jake. How many wide receivers were selected ahead of DK Metcalf? 4, 6, or 8?
8.
Yes. Correct.
Woo!
Thomas, look at me, Thomas.
Yeah.
You've got this.
I'm here.
You've got this.
Okay. Locked in.
Okay. Tom, DK Metcalf and DeAndre Hopkins are numbers 1 and 2 in the league in which receiving category?
Number 1 and 2 in the league.
Uh-huh.
For wide receivers or just overall in something?
Wide receivers, pass catchers.
Okay. Hopkins. Touchdown.
No, it's yards per game. DeAndre Hopkins with 100.2. He's leading the league. DK Metcalf with 99. Jake.
Hold on. Jake, would you have gotten that? I'm just curious.
Actually, I don't know if I would have gotten that. I would have thought yards, touchdowns, but I know they're not necessarily the same. So I'm not sure if I would have gotten that one. That's a tough one.
All right, Jake. Who leads the Cardinals in rushing touchdowns?
Leads the Cardinals in rushing touchdowns. It's got to be. It can't be Kenyon Drake. It's got to be Kyler Murray.
It is Kyler Murray. Okay.
Yes. Sometimes I don't know if they're just so obvious. It's right in front of me, and yet, I hate
trying
this.
To steer you
There's so much pressure. Exactly.
Tom, I believe in you.
I just need one here.
Okay.
To maintain
Tom, the Cardinals have the second best red zone offense in the NFL. Who has the best red zone offense?
The Seahawks?
Yeah! Yeah! Jake. Jake, the Cardinals are number 2 in the league in which enviable defensive statistic?
Wait, what? Enviable?
Yeah, like... You'd
like
to
man,
have that.
I'd love to have that statistic.
I'd love to have that defensive statistic.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It might as well give me the answer. Points per game.
Yes, that is correct. Tom, for not the win, a game between these two teams resulted in the only tie in Pete Carroll's coaching career with Seattle. It was infamously a game in which neither team scored a touchdown. Who was the starting quarterback for Arizona?
In 2016, they went 10-5-1. Starting quarterback for Arizona. Oh, man, it could have been a whole host of guys. Was it Lindley? Was it Palmer? 2016. I'll go with Lindley.
Oh, it was Carson Palmer. You had it. You had it right there.
Carson Palmer?
I know. Jake wins this game for today. The tiebreakers are really, really tough. We have 10 seconds here, Tom. I want to see if you could get the tiebreaker because I feel like this is up your alley. Name the only Cardinals quarterback to ever beat Russell Wilson in Arizona.
The only card to beat him in Arizona. I don't know.
It's not Palmer?
It's not, no.
I think 2012. That's the only time Russell Wilson
McCown?
Lost.
Is it McCown?
John Skelton. That was the last time Russell Wilson. Good job, Tarek. Last time Russell Wilson lost in Arizona. So it's looking good, Seahawks fans. All right.
By the way, just a tidbit about that game. Kevin Cobb also played in it.
It was that long ago.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That I do remember, but you're right.
All right. Congratulations, Jake. Tom, better luck next week. You got this, buddy. I believe in you. We'll sum it up next.
The wait is over.
They're going to wave him in.
It's time to sum it up with Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Shot clock turned up.
The final word on everything that matters today in sports.
Step back.
All right, guys. Here's what I'm taking away from today. Everyone's a little scared of the NFC West. Also, we've got some pretty bold takes, all three of us. Unfortunately, though, Jake, man, yours is already a little bit crushed. Now, if you sent in your bold takes earlier, thanks so much for basically playing the game with us. We're going over all our bold takes for Sunday. Some really fun ones there. Tom says it's going to be a tie. I said, for some reason, that the Arizona Cardinals defense will give up more yards than Seattle's. Jake says the Seattle Seahawks defense can hold the Cards to 100 rushing yards and also that Snacks Harrison is going to be active. Pete Carroll, though, crushing Jake's dreams one by one, just tells him, nope, Snacks Harrison actually not playing this week, Jake. Oh. Tough look for my guy, Jake.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what's worse, you know, having him being brought into his office and getting cut by him or having this news. Like, I really can't tell you right now because I was so ready for Snacks Harrison to show up and just wreck the Arizona Cardinals running game. But, you know, sometimes it's just not meant to be on your timing. You know,
it's
you
not.
Just need to know that you know, things are going to happen the way it's supposed to, and you just got to live and move on and, you know, try and figure things out. And I'm not, you know, still talking about what I did after I was after I got cut.
This is absolutely about Snacks Harrison.
Yeah, correct. 100%.
All right. Well, you're being a good sport about it, Jake. I mean, the other half of that prediction could still come true. They could very well hold the Arizona Cardinals to under 100 yards rushing. It's going to be really hard, though, because another thing we all learned today is that these are two of the best red zone offenses in the league. What's going to be the key to stopping them then?
Keeping them out of the red zone.
1,000%, Tom. That is the answer I'm looking for.
That's the analysis that we provide on this show.
You can find it right
now,
here.
That's right. But how do they do that? The one way that you can do this is they have not shown that they can consistently get, you know, opposing offenses off the field on third down. So the one way you've got to continue to keep relying on winning ball games and playing winning football defensively is by creating turnovers. And Kyler Murray will give you opportunities to do so. We'll see if the Seahawks can capitalize.
Do you think that Kingsbury tells him, like, as a coach, like, or maybe his quarterback's coach, somebody like, hey, Kyler, look, I know we're putting a lot on you, but you don't have to force things, you know, to happen. You don't need to put the ball in harm's way just in the name of, you know, taking chances. Maybe, or is that something that he has to learn on his own? I guess I'm asking this
definitely
as a quarterback.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's conversations that happen all the time. I mean, especially with Kyler being in his second year, there is a lot of pressure on him to perform. There is a lot of pressure on him to move the ball and make big plays. And a lot of times you'll see some still young player type of mistakes. And that is the job of Cliff Kingsbury. That was literally why he was brought in, to be a mentor to Kyler Murray and help this transition. And I think sometimes when, for Kyler, he is willing to take more risks, more chances than Russell Wilson ever has really in his entire career so far. And that has shown up a few times here this season.
Here's another thing summing up the day, you guys. This is my takeaway from it. Everyone's a little bit afraid of the NFC West. I know that the records don't necessarily reflect this, but each team can be dangerous on any given day. You saw the 49ers, Tariq, I hate that I'm doing this. The 49ers upset the Rams when no one was expecting them to do that.
Yeah.
Not just upset them, but like really outplayed them. You also have the Arizona Cardinals, who demolished the Dallas Cowboys the other day. I know you're talking about an NFC East team, but all of these teams in this division have some pretty explosive weapons. I think all three of us feel pretty confident that Seattle has the best quarterback, undoubtedly, that they have some of the best weapons, even on the defensive side of the ball. Bobby Wagner, in my opinion, still the best middle linebacker in this division, and in the league for that matter. But I think that we were joined earlier by Bickley and Murata from 98.7 Arizona Sports. And they said, you guys, to be honest, we're like a little bit nervous for this Sunday. And honestly, that's what Mike Salk said, too. He said, I got to be honest, I'm a little bit nervous for Sunday, Tom.
These games are so up in the air. I mean, I talked about this a little bit. I mean, even look at last night's game, right? Neither the Eagles nor the Giants are great teams, or maybe even good. They're both completely mistake prone. And yet that game, the way that it went last night, strange things can happen in divisional games because the teams know each other so well. It's the same thing here. I mean, Pete Carroll knows the Cardinals. The Cardinals know Pete Carroll. Even if Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray haven't been there forever, I mean, we've had enough looks at them now where they should be able to game plan for one another effectively. And they happen to be talented. Do they have as many talented players in total as the Seahawks? Well, they might be pretty close, but the one thing they haven't done yet is to learn how to win and overcome a ton of adversity through an entire season. Most of the guys on this team have experience doing that, whether it be from last year or the year before or even some of this year. Cardinals are on their way, but it's pretty darn close any way you cut it. So for them to be nervous, for us to be nervous, very understandable, which is why I predicted a tie.
Can I be honest with you guys here? I actually am not that nervous. I'm not that nervous heading into this game. Because the reason why is I just continue to keep looking over the schedule for the Arizona Cardinals. I'm just not impressed with their wins, and I'm not impressed with their losses in particular. They lost to the Detroit Lions. They lost to the Carolina Panthers, who, you know, at this point, it's still early in the season. You don't know what their final record is going to be. But against, you know, tougher competition, they struggled. They struggled. Kyler Murray struggled. There's been some inconsistent play there. And I think that although the Seahawks defense hasn't been spectacular, I think that this is still a very, very good football team. So that's why I believe that if the Seahawks can come out and control the game early, run the ball, be able to put points up on the board, to be able to, you know, have a couple early big plays, either a turnover or a third down stop. I think that those are moments that with a young football team like the Arizona Cardinals, who are still trying to figure out who they are and trying to mesh together, those are the types of ways that an experienced, put-together team can go on the road and walk out with a comfortable victory. So I think that that's more of what I'm anticipating this Sunday.
I certainly hope it's not a tie. That's what I hope, Tom. This is obviously
5-0-1.
Stop that. Stop that. Hey, you'd still be leading the West. I'll say that. All right. This will do it for us today. Just some final scores I took out of today from all three of us. Jake says 28-17 Seattle. I say 23-21 Seattle. Tom says 22-all with a tie. Oh, man, that's just awful. Don't forget, Dodgers versus Rays is also tonight at 5 p.m. right here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Bob, Dave, and Moore is next. We'll talk to you guys Monday.
Bye.